All right, so we're opening by page ratio test, yeah? Okay. Umiata, the second paragraph. Umiata. So, again, what we saw before was that, again, the revolution of Chassidus is that the kelim themselves are made of light. So, the goal is not to negate the body and get rid of one's personality. Quite the opposite. It's about all of one's midas are betzem elikos, and they're just being hijacked. Right? That was the last thing that we saw from, what you quoted from the Maggid. For the Maggid Mizrich, that a relationship with a sister, love for a sister, when it's, you know, obviously when we're talking about arayis, chesedu. Really, it's the sphere of chesed, and it's a havas Hashem just being hijacked in that ugly way. Umeata. So, therefore, basically, loydai leish lahachnias midais levavad. So, from now on, basically, from the Baal Shem Tov and on, it's not enough for a person to just subdue one's midas. So, what? Because a yid is a wild animal. That it's just enough that it doesn't gore and doesn't bite and it doesn't hurt people. Whereas if you see a person, if you're when you're dealing with a shar like in Baba Kama, so what's a good shar? A good shar is a shar that doesn't hurt anybody. That's a good ox. That's a good ox. So if you're looking at a yid like an ox, so that the bar is very low. Just don't hurt anybody. But that's not what. This is the irony of it, right? People think that the light of the chassidus like makes it easier, chizik, everything's fine. No. It raises the bar, because once you realize that you're not a behemoth, so if you're not a behemoth, so then now the bar is not just don't gore. You know what I mean? Now the bar is much higher. And if you want the neshama to become one with Hashem, im gufa midaisav ma'aras psanim bitsav etel shel ashpa mizahemesu. So shirak larchik ol ashlicha medes. So then, and so again, in the older way that you see a yid like a chayiro, like a behema. So if you want the neshama to become one with Hashem, so if the body and one's midas is this basically this pile of garbage that's causing problems to distance you from Hashem. So v'meila. So what you want to do is get rid of it, but that's not true. That's the point. That's what he's saying. But that's not true. Gam hanamicha shloi kaidish. Even the lowest part of who we are is also holy. The gam behem tzrichin lavid was davik ba'aviv, and that also needs to be worked through to become davik to Hashem. Malkul kadoshay, our King, our Holy One. And so you no longer can be satisfied with just allowing your neshama to become connected to Hashem when your guf is left out in the cold. That's no longer possible. Dveikus to Hashem requires shleimus. It requires completion. Hashem is one, complete and whole. So to come attached to Hashem, the one that's becoming attached to Hashem also has to be complete and whole. So before the Baal Shem Tov, the only part of you that was in that category of completion and of tzedakah was the neshama. So the only part of you having the body left out doesn't interfere with the wholesomeness of the experience. But now that the body and the soul are united as one, and they're both made of holiness, so now if only the neshama is attached to Hashem, now you're talking about half a person. Now you're talking about an incomplete partner. And Hashem is a complete partner, so he needs a complete partner as well. So just before the Baal Shem Tov, the only part of you that was significant in the relationship with Hashem was the neshama. So that's the only part that you need. The other part can be left out. It doesn't make a difference. But now that that you as a partner with Hashem is both body and soul, so now both body and soul have to be on the same page. So in fact, Vekas, to a certain degree, becomes harder, right? Or becomes, and not harder, but it becomes... Again, the bar is raised. The bar is raised in terms of what Avodas Hashem demands, really. So, v'im yisboinin ish b'yahava ra'a asher mesereres by leimar. So now, when if a person were to think about some negative ahava, negative love that is awakened within the person, so again, in the early days, then that wouldn't. It's not. Then there's not. You know. Of course, the person wants to do something negative because my body's a cheftz of. It's a piece of chazer anyway, the whole thing. So of course I want to do something not good. But now that we realize that even the body of a Jew and even the midas of a Jew are holy, so now when a person has an awakening of something not good, so now the avoida becomes, now there's an avoida to how to process that. So what's the, how do you, no, this, before the Baal Shem Tov, there was no avodah to process that. I mean, what's the shayla? You're behemoth. So maybe you like behemoth de gazach. It's not a shayla. But now already there's an avodah about how to touch up and how to figure out one's yetzahara, because deep down, really, it's a godly experience. It's a godly mida of chesed. So now, when a yetzahara arises, now there's an avodah about how to address it, how to engage with it, like what, to define it, to touch it up. It's now a sugya. It's not just an animal. So he says, v'mizbayin ish bi'ahava rush or meseras by lemer. If a person contemplates, let's say, negative love that awakens within him with the following thought, and you say, this, what's really happening inside of me is that there's an awakening of Havas Hashem. There's an awakening of the Midah of Chesed, which is godly and divine. And now the response is, how could I allow it to become polluted and hijacked by this ugly love? So he says, so that's why, to a certain degree, what Chassidus does is Chassidus also expands the domain of tshuva. Because before the Baal Shem Tov, a person doesn't have to do tshuva. When I say tshuva, I don't mean because he did anything wrong per se, but I'm talking about avodah. Before the Baal Shem Tov, there's no thing, you do tshuva on your midas. Person has a negative yetzahara. So you have to do tshuva on that? No, like, of course you have a negative yetzahara. You're a behemoth, so what's the shayla? What do you have to do tshuva on? If you act upon it, if you do anything, if you listen to the animal, then obviously you have to do tshuva. But once the Baal Shem Tov comes and says, no, you're not a behemoth. So now you're not a behemoth, so why am I, so why do I want to do animal things? The answer is because there's something that's hijacking my true self. Oh, so there's an avoid in that. There's quote unquote tshuva that one has to do even on one's midas. Again, not because you're doing anything wrong by having the Eitzara, but tshuva, not in terms of like the guilt because I did anything wrong, but just the avoid of fixing something. The avoid of fixing. The truth is, the Rambam himself writes this in the seventh parak of Hilchas Tshuva. The Rambam says a person shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that tshuva, the avoid of fixing and repairing of tshuva, is only for actual averis. Says the Rambam, no, tshuva is also for bad midas. If a person has bad midas, and even the Rambam says even bad like hashkafas, also that requires tshuva. Why? Well, there's an avera to be jealous. There's an avera of having a taiva for something. Is an avera of feeling jealous for something? No. So what type of tshuva is that? The answer is tshuva, not in terms of like I did something wrong that I have to say I'm sorry for, but tshuva in terms of avoid, in terms of fixing something, in terms of realigning something with its true identity. That's what tshuva means, right? Tshuva doesn't mean repentance. Tshuva means to return something to its authentic self. That's now true in midas, because before the Baal Shem Tov, your true self was the behemah. So, you know, in terms of the body, right? But now even the body part of who you are is like a malach. So now when a person is experiencing something that's not malachdik, it requires realignment. So now tshuva is more expansive. Tshuva is more expansive. And so it's counterintuitive. Because, again, all of this is raising the bar of Avodas Hashem. It's not lowering it, and it's not making it easier. Again, when I say easier, it's a derech aruch shikatsar, whatever. Again, the objective of Chassidus is not to, it's just the truth, you know. Whether it's
easier because of the simcha.
That's a derech aruch. It's long term. It's easier. So this, like the list, the itinerary of things that you have to now fix is more. Right, because until the Baal Shem Tov, that whole category of my body, my midas, you don't have to fix anything. You just, you know, just do whatever you can to ignore it. But now, all of a sudden, the list of things, and all I had to fix was, you know, to make sure I don't do anything wrong, and to make sure I learn, I daven, and I do the right, you know, I do the things. But in terms of my midas and really repairing that was not part of, there was not a necessary component in my attachment to Hashem. All of a sudden, it comes to Baal Shem Tov, no, now that's part of the list. But again, it's coming from a very positive place, which is because you're a piece of godliness.
How are people ever happy? Besides for a big tzaddikah back then.
They found things to just, most people didn't know anything. You have to understand, back in those days,
they didn't even know about Hasidus.
Yeah, so whatever. It's like, they didn't know about anything. They're just trying to make a living. They're just, you know, trying to make a living, avoid Kazakhs. You know, it's just surviving. You know, now as we get closer to Mashiach, we have more of an ability to like think about the. Back in those days, you have to understand, like you had a handful, like how many Rishonim were there? You know, I mean, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of years. How many? A few hundred. I mean, you're talking about a handful, basically, of unbelievably huge giants, and everyone else was just like barely literate. So, Avoida. Avoida was, like, you know.
Who'd they write the Torah
for? Huh?
Who'd they write the Torah for?
For us, for posterity. No, it was That's why, by the way, based on what we're learning now, the Musar movement is Mamash Chassidus. It's Mamash Chassidus, you know. Because without the Baal Shem Tov, who needs Musar? What's Musar about? Fixing your midas. What do you have to fix your midas for? Just like, get a lobotomy and finished. Like, what do you need to fix your midas for? The whole idea of there being a desire to fix one's midas is coming because real dveikus in Hashem requires your emotional self and your body to be involved. Why? The answer is because your neshama and your body are one, because they're both a lakus, which is a Baal Shem Tov. So Musar is also chassidus.
What really is the difference between Musar and chassidus?
The only difference is that chassidus is, they're both partners. Because they're both trying to create this holistic person who's now able to attach themselves to Hashem. And this holistic person is made of two parts, a neshama and a body. So chassidus is about raising the volume of the godly soul. And musar is about refining and maybe lowering the volume of the nefesh of Bahamas. But the very fact that you have to deal with the nefesh of Bahamas and try to fix it is based on an assumption, which is that that's also part of the dveikus. Where is that coming from? That's coming from the Baal Shem Tov. So again, the Bali Musar also, it's all the same. It's all the same. But that again, why is it that the Musar movement came when it came? I see you could explain the, you know, sociological reasons, whatever it is. It's all coming from the same tekufa. You know, again, it's a little bit after the Baal Shem Tov and so on, but like the Hasidic movement was already like, you know, in its full, you know, it was already in full stride, you know, by the time the Muslim movement came, but almost in full stride, but it's all coming from the same place. Well, Marshall, the Bali Musar, you're supposed to enter. What's the safer that it's all come? Who's the forefather? It's Ramchal, right? Before Madrid. The Ramchal, the Siyos Yashar. What does Ramchal write in his introduction? First of all, the Ramchal is also the forefather to a certain degree of Chassidus, right? So it's the same, it's all coming from the same source. And what does Ramchal write in his introduction to Maseilas Yesharim, which is usually not what they learn in ninth grade, you know? So what's the Ramchal's introduction, and he frames the whole sefer, he says, the reason why I'm writing this is because people have a misconception of what a tzaddik is and what a chassid is. Again, he used the word chassid, not chassidus, but the word chassid. So he says why? He says people think that what's a tzaddik, someone that fasts all day, someone that punishes his body, someone that's unrelatable, that's what a tzaddik and a chassid is. But inside of themselves, they could still be the same chaotic, rotten person. But as long as their body is small and weak, as long as they're not feeling anything, that's a tzaddik and a chassid. The Ramchal says that's incorrect. A tzaddik and a chassid is someone who's worked through. Someone whose midas are correct and realigned and part of the dveikus in Hashem. And that's why I'm writing Maseilas Yesharim. That's chassidus, you know. Yeah, that was the original Hasnagdus, right? I'm saying the Brisa of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, right? That Maseilas Yesharim is modeled after a Brisa. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair taught that if a person wants to be zaycha to such a madreg of tchias al kedei kach that you can be mechayim mason, so Rav Pinchas Ben Yair said this is the model. Zahiras, Zerizas, all the chapters of Maseilas Yesharim. That's what Maseilas Yesharim is based on. And that's the final chapter of Maseilas Yesharim is Ruach HaKadosh, to get Ruach HaKadosh. And then after that, you know, it to be Mechayim Mason. That's, again, the Maseilas Yesharim is based, what's the goal? Maseilas Yesharim is based on the Brisa of Pinchas Ben Yair, which was a Brisa that's giving you a path to become someone that brings the body back to life. What does it mean Tchiyas HaMeisim? The neshama back to life. The neshama is already alive. Tchiyas HaMeisim means the body back to life. Why is the body back to life? Because the body has its own life source, just like the neshama does. That's the ultimate. I mentioned this many times, that the site of Tchiyas HaMeisim is, why is it that when Tchiyas HaMeisim happens, there's never going to be death again? What's the change? The answer is, before Tchiyas HaMeisim, the life of the body doesn't have its own life. All that the body has is from the neshama. And therefore, there's only so much time that the body, there's only, you know, so it's flawed. So eventually it falls apart. But what Tchiyas HaMeisim means, the body itself also has the same light as the neshama.
They become one.
And they become one, because they're partners together, shav b'shav, in equal stature. So what's the whole meaning of Tchiyas HaMeisim is what? Is that the body is of the same material as the neshama. They're both, the kelim are made of elikus, just like the light is, which is what Chassidus is about. And Tchiyas HaMeisim is what Mesilas Yesharim is going to. And Mesilas Yesharim is the bedrock of Musar. It's the same thing. The Baal Shem Tov, the Yisro Salanter, it's all the same Torah. It's all the same thing. They're both doing the same thing. It's not the whole thing is, any sense of there being like real Hisnagdus is only a lack of, either a lack of understanding or just these truths were not ready, whatever. There's an inion of like, whatever. At this point in history, there's no reason for this. It's not just like the Hisnagda stop. They're both saying the same thing. They're both working to the same goal. There's no chiluk at all. The whole thing is a misconception.
Musar seems to come from Yiro, or like
when... Again, they're tackling two different issues, but the two issues are both. We need the body and so, the top. Okay, meaning. Both Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the Baal Shem Tov are trying to do the same, trying to get to a goal. What's the goal? Dveikus b'Hashem. But attaching to Hashem means body and soul. So that means the soul has to be worked through, and the body has to be worked through. So the Baal Shem Tov is focused on the soul, giving the tools and instructions to work through the soul. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is giving the tools to work through the body. But they're partners for this. They're both, because again, before the Giloy of the Baal Shem Tov, who cares about the body? Why was Mesilas Yesharim not written before? Why was there not a Musar movement before? The same reason why there wasn't a Hasidic movement before, because it wasn't the right time for this Giloy to take place. So before the Baal Shem Tov, there was no need for there to be a Musar movement. What Musar movement? Yeah. Just shut your mouth. Don't stop talking. You want to say Lashon Hara? Who cares? So fine. Because of course you want to say Lashon Hara because you're a Chayara. Again, like an ox. The goal is to make the ox a lamb. No, the goal is the ox is a gore. Because that's the bar. Musar movement is already saying, no, you're not a chayra. You're not a chayra. And you should be a delicate, gentle person. Where is that coming from? Because the kalim are made of light. That's the idea. It's all coming from the same place. So you have Rabbeinu Yonah, first of all, Shari Tshuva. So it's focused on the halach. You read through Shari Tshuva, it's really first of all, I mean, Bechla, by the Rishonim, they're laying the foundations for everything. So it's like, that's we call them Rishonim, right? Because Rishis means just the seed. So things aren't fully fleshed out. But the Bali Musar will tell you that, well, of course, they'll learn Shari Tshuva and so on. But the Ikar Sefer, that really the Musar movement is based on is Mesilas Yesharim. That's what it's based on. But again, and again, that's a shmuz by itself. It was not to learn Mesilas Yesharim like a Taisvis, you know. That's already like.
Mesilas Yesharim says that he's not being mechadish
anything. Huh?
Mesilas Yesharim says in the intro that he's not being mechadish anything.
Yeah, he's not being mechadish anything. But that's what all the big mechadishim say that, you know. It's like. And if you remember like Vads and Yeshiva?
Yeah.
Stop it. It's Avoida. It's Dveikus. It was supposed to be read with Eslavas and Espashas Agashmas. It was supposed to be read like you learn with Noam HaMelech. That's what it's about. Getting to... Even a Tais is really supposed to be learned like a Noam HaMelech. You know what I'm saying? That's already... But Mesilas Yesharim like a Tais? Oh, what type of ridiculous thing is that? That's a shtus. That's a narish guy. That's coming from a place that they didn't really believe in Musar, so, but we have to have it on the schedule because otherwise it's not really yeshiva. So, Chas v'Shalom, the guy should feel a little bit of bittul and, you know, and humility. So, you know, you take a break from yeshus for the whole day of coming up with the pilpul to convince, you know, Akasha to slug up the Rebbe. So it's, you know, you have to take a break from the gaiva and you machnir yourself a little bit. But that's, you know, but sometimes the gaiva is very appealing, so you have to bring the gaiva into the Zilzul Shalom. So you come up with to approach Musar, you have to approach it like a chassid approaches chassidus. There's no other way. It's coming from the same place. No, those are, I mean, the Tanai, you're talking about, you can't even define them. You're talking about the Shemus HaKadosh. It's a Likus. Tanakh is above all these limit. I mean, it's the source of everything. You know, you could find everything in Tanakh. You could find everything in Rishon. It's like the seed that everything is coming from. You know, it's like, if you want to have an apple pie, it's coming from the seeds of an apple, but it's not, you can't just eat the seeds. You know, it has to be worked through. So it's all, yeah, it's all coming from Tanakh. It's all coming from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all coming, you know. So Noich v'le Yivacha, that's it. That's where it's all coming from. Good. Of course. But it's the same thing over here. Chassidus, again, the same thing like we saw from the Lach Rebbe. Chassidus, and it, there's a gilui of it. Once you have this lens, then you can now see everything within that framework. So it's not to say that there are certain svarim that are outside of this frame. It's just a matter of perspective, you know? Again, the same thing with Zilzul Shalom. Like the Vilna Gaon was like completely, you know, right? Everyone is famous from the, right? The Vilna Gaon said that until was it the 10th parak of Zilzul Shalom, there's not an extra letter or something like that, right? Something like that, parak Yud, 11th. Including the 11th?
Yeah.
That's a big site. 11 is always a kolamais of Gerea, you know. 11 is always a number that's represents that which is unholy and impure. You know, the 10 sons of Haman and Haman himself, the 11 spices of the Ketores, and so 11 is always a symbol of the domain that, you know, that's outside of Kedusha. That's 11. So maybe the first 11 prakim of Mesillas Yesharim is man, such a shlemus that every letter is accounted for, said the Vilna Gaon. That's what the Mesillas Yesharim is about, taking something that's outside, that is seemingly outside of Kedusha and bringing it to Kedusha. But it's with, hey, listen, it's like anything else, you know, it depends on the person needs to, you know, you have to be well-read and well-rounded in order to appreciate anything. Chazal say about Yiddishka, about Torah, Zaniyam v'makam mechad Hashem v'makam, that it's, you know, that it's all over the place. You can't understand anything until you see everything. So like, you can't, you know, you can't build a world view based on just Mesillas Yesharim. Anyone that tries to do that, anyone that has a world view that's a little bit more broader than just coming from one sefer, when you hear someone describe a worldview just based on one sefer, it's very uncomfortable. Wearing clothes that don't fit. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. An adult being stuck in second grade. I don't know. Limiting. Yeah. So you have to see all the things. So when you see enough, then you realize it's all coming from the same place. It's not. There's no steer at all. No steer at all. All right. Okay, just a couple more minutes, we'll finish up. So again, Nachmo. So like a third of the way in. So the first word, first line, Ve'echani matan fa behavro kazu. So since, if I'm really feeling right now, Ahavas Hashem, and how could I allow it to become soiled and dirtied with this negative Ahava, how it's being hijacked. So Gamizeh, Yisar Ba'avel Hashem. And then all of a sudden, the negative midah, now you have the avoid of realigning it, and you could actually turn it into a havas, you know, reveal the havas Hashem within it. The gam is iris the havas Hashem kazu, shabam mihava grua kazu, And this Ahavas Hashem that now was revealed from within a negative love, Ahava Grushness, Havgal Ahavas Hashem V'Hatayra, now a negative love that was now converted and revealed to be Ahavas Hashem and a love for Hashem, a love for Torah, G'dayli, that's a Gaval de Gazach. That's amazing, that's the best. V'loy Avzu, not only that, El Shagam Yisharak Doim Eloish Nesar Midas Ahava Yira. And now let's say a person is feeling a little bit of Havas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, but it's only a dimyon. In Tanya, this is a big discussion also, that there's such a thing as if a person feeling, how do you know if the person's Havas Hashem and so on is real, or is it just fake, a dimyon, an illusion, fantasy? So one of the telltale signs is, does it last? If it's emes, then it should continue on. If it doesn't continue on, it's a shtickle dimyon. So that can be very disheartening. Because how many times do we feel, let's say you have moments of inspiration, but then it doesn't last. So it's hard enough to deal with the fact that it stopped. But now to say that because it stopped, it means it was never real, that's very disheartening. So the answer is, Taka, it was a dimyon. It was coming from the imagination. But your imagination is also holy. Right? So that's also what Chassidus will do. So he says, so now even a person only has a dimyon, an imagination of ahava and yira, and it's not only a dimyon, it's also good. Like Rabaran, the Talmud of the Baal Tanya writes in the name of the Mizrachi Magid, Al-Pasuk, Ve'elni sedamuni ve'eshva. Says in Pasuk, Hashem says, who could you compare me to and I'll be equal to them? That's the puzzle. Like, who could you compare Hashem to? Avshirak Dimyanhu. So he said, the Raran from the name of the Mitzvah Magid said that even if it's just Dimyan, Gamkin Yamar Kaddish is also holy. In other words, the Elmi Sedamyuni, if you're just using Dimyan, just imagination, to serve me, the Ashveh, that's already on the same page. We're already on the same page. That's already holy. Right? Because the truth is, it's coming from a holy source. The outside, the physical, the actions that we do and the things that we do and so on, that's not holy. So they hijack the authentic emotions. But now that you're a little bit becoming victorious over them, and you're allowing the feeling to become realigned with its source, even if it's not even if it's still in the world of Dimyon. Rak b'emesar is dimyon levadu. It's only an awakening of dimyon. Avol etzem Yisrael shabai, but in its root, its essential Jewish quality, b'shoz u'esar semitisi. But that's the true thing. Av b'shoz Yisrael es mitzrach v'gashmim. And even when you're doing physical things, mischar malacha, going to work and so on, imal dercha tayra isayisam. If you're doing them al pi tayra, avaydehi lefi darkei chassidus. That's a big avayda, not just as an in between. Now, what he just said, he's going to continue on. We'll see this tomorrow of transitioning from the revolution of Chassidus in terms of the midas of a person. That's what we've talked about mostly today, and now also the revolution of Chassidus in terms of your physical activities, of how the physical things that you do throughout the day could also now be seen as holy endeavors. So that's Bezer Hashem. We'll see tomorrow.